Welcome back to Bridge CRE, episode 17. This is your host, Brandon Jenkins, with my co-host, Candace Moore.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back.
What is happening,
wow.
Candace?
Here we are, 3 months later.
Where have you been? What have you been doing?
Living the dream. What about you?
I think it's more of a nightmare at this point.
100%. But you got to look at the positivity for the world. In life. You can't go down that negative path. You know.
Every day I wake up and... you know what? I'm truly blessed. I don't have problems that a lot of people are, you know, protesting for and everything else. So, you know what? I wake up every day happy.
Me too. Heart's beating, legs moving.
That's it.
Job's still
that's
chugging
all we,
along.
That's all we could do.
Very true.
But it is cray-cray out there in the world. Everybody, please stay safe. From me and Candace here at Bridge CRE, please stay safe.
We're here for you if you need us.
Yes, please just reach out to us. So, I mean, we would jump into events that we've done in the past and past events.
We would normally just be chugging along on episode 17, but we're going to switch it up. Let's do something new today.
I guess we have to. The world's changing before our very eyes, so we have to keep up with it.
I like it.
All right, so let's go ahead and jump in and introduce our special guest, Candace, you want to introduce her?
Julia Marin.
With JO.
With JO.
Business Solutions, yes.
Back again.
On her second.
She is.
On her second.
Just because we love you that much.
Yeah. Yep.
First repeat guest, I think.
Very true.
Right?
Yeah, you are. I like it.
Yes.
Well, obviously, a bunch of our listeners are curious as to what's going on out there with all these associations. Where are things going? Just like everyone is curious of multiple things.
It's a big topic right now, especially for vendors, property managers. I mean, owners, we're all kind of looking for direction on what's going to be taking place.
What is going to be the new normal?
What's going to be the new normal? Exactly. So we're happy to have you on.
Thank you.
And we are excited to hear what type of lovely advice and the different things that you have to say to keep us all informed.
Absolutely.
I'm happy to be here. And I appreciate giving the opportunity to even talk about these things. And I'll do my best to make some predictions here today. And we'll see in a couple months how they come true or not. I mean,
this
year is pretty crazy. So I could predict like UFO invasion. I could predict, and it might actually come true. It's right up there. It's right up there with some of the other predictions I could make. So.
Yeah. You'd be safe with the UFO prediction.
I think I would. I think I would.
It's crazy.
I'm agreeing. All right. Well, first question that we have is, what commercial real estate associations does your company, JOM, represent?
So in the commercial real estate industry, we cover BOMA Sacramento, IREM Sacramento, IREM San Francisco, CREW Sacramento, and IFMA Sacramento. So everything from facility managers to residential multifamily management and commercial real estate. So it's a wide group, and it's a rough time for commercial real estate right now. So and sure associations enough. In general. And everyone in general, actually.
Yeah.
Everyone is feeling this on some level.
The list is long.
It is. So it's definitely been a challenging time.
I would agree to it. Now, I know every single person with all these associations, whoever is a member, a vendor, in any aspect, a part of these, the big question is when is everyone going to have real in-person events? Can you predict that for us?
That is a big question. I get that question almost every day, and I wish I had an answer. Unfortunately, I don't. I can tell you that there is not a specific date right now when we will be allowed to have events. Events count as gatherings, and there's a statewide restriction on gatherings. So while each county is moving through the various stages set forth by the governor, gatherings fall under that final stage, stage four, and no one is in stage four right now. Some of our local counties I know are in stage two. I know Placer is really pushing to be in stage three, which is great. However, it is my understanding from discussions with local government that it's going to take 3 to 4 weeks to transition from one stage to the next because they need to assess the different metrics the governor has put in place, and they need to see if that we're trending in the right direction. And obviously, a lot of things have changed even in the last week with protests and different things, and that's gathering a lot of people together, and we don't really know if that's going to affect the stages each county is in. So I don't have a date for you, but I do know that it is something everybody is looking forward to doing as soon as possible.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's always the COVID aspect of it with those large gatherings. So it's, and we're waiting on the information to that to see what type of,
you know, if effect that's going to have. That's going to play effect.
Well, I mean, I would imagine that there's going to be some type of spike with the large gatherings that's been taking place. I mean,
650 people in Sacramento protesting.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't have a graduation, but yet you can do this. Not understanding.
Yeah. Exactly.
So we'll see how this all plays out, COVID related.
Yeah.
And whether or not counties get pushed back into phase one or stage one again, and that would start the whole timeline again. So while I would love to say, oh, golf tournaments can start at this time or we can have an event in August, there's just no set date right now.
So basically every association is playing everything by ear.
Yes, every association is. And, you know, associations really rely on events for fundraising. Nonprofits in general rely on events for fundraising. So we've had to do a lot of pivoting and innovating have been our key words. But we're just sort of playing it by ear as far as pushing out events. And I know that it's frustrating to have us change dates over and over again. It's frustrating for staff, too, to do that.
Sure.
We just are legally not allowed to have an event. And that's really our hands are tied. You know, there is a misconception out there that we're just not being creative enough and that we need to have events where we're just spaced out more. Events are illegal. There's nothing I can do about that. So I think that that's the part that people need to
Exactly. There's liabilities, there's risk, and the reward, to tell you the truth, is, you know, is pretty minimal, I'm guessing. You know, last thing you want to do is have the cops show up.
What you guys doing? You got 100 people here.
Yeah.
None of us want that present.
Although they're probably not going to be worried about that, you know, at this moment in time.
Right. Well, and now's the season for golf tournaments. You know, we're all in that golf mode and golf courses are open.
Yes.
So, of course, everyone's curious, well, why can't we still have a tournament?
Right.
Obviously, there's reasons.
Yes. And so I'm glad you asked that because we get that question a lot because everybody misses those golf tournaments. Golf tournaments are really fun and it is golf tournament season. And we would normally be 3, 4, or 5 into the season at this point. And we cannot have them, even though golf courses are open. And we've all seen how packed they are. And it's great. And they are deemed low risk. The golf courses and golfing as an activity is deemed low risk. Golf tournaments are a gathering and are an event. So it's not something the golf course can book with us. We cannot, we just are completely, our hands are tied. We're completely restricted to even book a golf tournament.
Have any of you been on a golf course yet?
No, but I heard it's only one person in a cart and it's still, you have to be 6 feet away, even if someone's putting, I've heard.
Yeah.
But no, have you?
Yeah, I have.
How is it?
I mean, we walked anyways, but, and it was, I mean, it was nothing big. It was the Land Park golf course, so it's a small 9-hole in Land Park, but literally one person to a cart. They had stuff you could wipe down, they had things where you could wash, you know, your hands, your ball, the golf balls, and it was an interesting experience. They didn't have any of the food stuff,
the restaurant
wasn't open, the bar wasn't open, so it was a little bit different. And you're just kind of wondering, like, is that the new norm? Or, you know, but, I mean, we'll find out.
You never know.
Right, exactly.
Time will tell.
You know, we've had a lot of requests to do golf tournaments in that format. And, well, what if we limit the players? What if we just don't serve food at the holes? What if we just put one person per cart? And we, again, it's a contract to book an event, and that's why we can't even move forward, even with those creative strategies, even trying to make sure we're complying with all the safety standards. It's still considered a gathering, so at this point we can't move forward with the associations.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy. And just with that, I mean, that kind of creates life as a vendor. You know, it throws us for a loop a little bit just because a lot of us rely on those gatherings in that time in order to, you know,
see
meet
our
up
clients.
With clients and and, you know, conduct some form of business, and that just doesn't take place for us anymore. So it's just super interesting times to see how this is going to evolve throughout the whole industry. So crazy. Next question. So we hit the golf course thing a little bit.
Yeah.
So what are associations doing, by the way, of virtual events in the meantime?
Well, Zoom became a word I don't think anybody used in February, and now it's like part of our everyday vernacular. And there's other platforms, of course, but I think Zoom's been. I know Zoom has definitely seen a big uptake in users, and so we've been doing a lot of things on Zoom. Everything from webinars to virtual trivia nights. There's virtual drawing nights coming up. I know with one association. The education is really important, and so some of our associations, including I know IRAM San Francisco and IRAM Sacramento, have a plethora of webinars now scheduled for people. And there's just a lot of different creative things that we're trying to get done and get out there. But then you also get kind of Zoom fatigue a little bit. You know, people are on these all day, and it is uniquely draining to be on Zoom. I don't know the psychology of it, but I do know that it is uniquely draining to sit there.
I'll tell you right now, I'm not a fan of Zoom calls. And it just makes me feel like...
No, Brandon, you just you show a fake face.
It's crazy. You know what it makes me feel like? It feels like I'm part of the Brady Bunch.
Right.
You know that scene the Brady Bunch where all the little squares?
Yeah.
And you're just sitting here looking around just like, what is going on?
Dogs barking in the background. Kids are climbing, screaming.
I like talking to people and watching people's body language and that type of interaction. And I understand the dilemma. Don't get me wrong. I completely understand the situation. But it's just one of those things that are, you know, kind of not natural to me. But I obviously have to adjust with and stuff like that. But
yeah.
it's crazy.
There's a lot of pressure in that, too, in just hosting the Zoom meetings.
I bet.
You know, because of the dogs and the kids and the things like that that will happen. And, you know, there are meetings that you would have, in 6 months ago, very important meeting, and you would have taken it very seriously, and you would have dressed professionally, and you would have, you know, done all these things. And now, recently, I can say I had a board meeting, and I take this very seriously, and I tried to make sure I was still, even for Zoom, dressed professional, and had everything locked down, you know, make sure we're going to do this very, take this very seriously, and I wanted to, of course, instill that I had things under control. And my kindergartner walked in right in the middle of the meeting, completely disregarding the sign on my door that said, do not come in if the door's closed. And in his mismatched pajamas and his crazy hair, and he climbed in my lap, and he looked at the screen of all my board members and demanded to see pictures of birds.
Yeah.
Right there.
That's the new norm. Like, everybody's...
Cute.
Everybody understands that.
Yeah.
So,
they do, and so it's part of just trying to reassess what is important right now. And really what... What the expectations are now.
I think it's a set of expectations. And people have to understand that people are working from home. Everybody's home environment's different. Everybody's. And that's the thing, because when you meet people face to face, you could have a controlled environment. And even your home should be somewhat of a controlled environment, but not in situations like what we're dealing with.
I think now people have gotten the hang of it. But yes, definitely the first couple of weeks was like, what am I doing? How do I log on? What do I wear?
Mm-hmm.
Do I even have to put on makeup? I mean, some people were just hodgepodging themselves to get online, you know?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yes,
it's a totally different dynamic.
Business is business, and we're all here to support each other and move forward.
We are, but there's just a different level of chaos, I feel like. When
100%.
There's no work-home-life balance. It's all one mesh of things all together. And,
it is.
You know,
you have four kids.
I do have four kids and three dogs. Awesome. And so it's a lot going on in that house. And, you know, some of these educational offerings that we're doing, we're charging people for it. So I do take that very seriously. And we've got national speakers booked, and we get them online, and I want to make sure everything's perfect. And even the other day, I'm doing a webinar, and I've got a bunch of people who paid to be there.
Yeah.
A repair person showed up early, knocked on the door at that moment.
Oh,
dogs went crazy. Dog ran away in the middle of it.
Oh.
Now, nobody on that webinar knew that was happening. There was a lot of strategic covering of my screen and muting my microphone.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't the speaker, so I could get away with it. But it's
the
a different level of stress when you are dealing with...
Yeah.
I mean, the dog came back. We did find the dog. But
that was my next question.
it's just completely different expectations have to be put in place here.
Yeah. Right. Well, you've been doing a phenomenal job.
Yeah,
I've been on
absolutely.
Multiple events. And yes, some of them are so educational. And, you know, curiosity, again, from the vendors. I work for an asphalt company, so of course I'm in construction, and we've been chugging along this whole time. But there are companies out there that have been struggling, and, you know, it's the curiosity of how do we get to our clients sometimes is frustrating. So you guys have been a great support for those aspects for the vendor side. So we do appreciate that.
Yeah, and then another thing I want to mention is, you know, since we're talking about support of each other, and, you know, within the commercial real estate industry, like anybody who, you know, out there, please support these different organizations, IREMS, the Bumbas of the world, the Crews of the world, because these are different times.
Yeah.
You know, they still need our support.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, and that goes on so many different levels. That goes on a business aspect, but also at home, you know, try to support your small businesses. You know, go out there, you know, do take out once a week, something like that to help support people, because everybody's going through trying times right now, and, you know, on every different level of their lives.
There's also, maybe Julia, you can speak on this, that you guys are doing a seminar and I'm registered for it, and it's uplifting people. You know, obviously this is hard times, but you do have a speaker that's coming in or getting online via Zoom, and maybe you can remember the dates and times, or I can look it up. But I'm excited about it. You know, it's something that is, how do you get motivated to, with these times, to go to work, to, you know, keep yourself chugging along, because some people in this industry are very, very
over it.
They're, you know, don't have jobs or whatever it is, and they're struggling to see light at the end of the tunnel. So do you recall what that one is? Or,
you know, staying motivated in general is definitely, it's a challenge sometimes depending on what's going on. And right now there's so much chaos and so much unrest and stress going on just in the world in general, from protests to COVID to, well, there was reports of a tiger on the loose earlier this week. It ended up being false, but that's the reality of 2020 right now. And
Tiger
murder
King.
Murder hornets, and I mean, there's just so many crazy things that are out there, and it's hard to shield yourself from that without then appearing that you are just putting your fingers in your ears and not wanting to deal with reality. And so I think that anything we can do to help people stay motivated and,
the one that I registered for is next Thursday, June 11th from 10 to 11 with IREM Sacramento, and it's keeping teams motivated during challenging times like right now.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to go on that one and just kind of hear, like,
that sounds
what
great.
Are cool motivating things. Yeah.
I think you're absolutely right. I think motivation factor for people, especially within our industry, is going to be the next big thing. And, you know, it goes back to the point like we were talking about, you know, you appreciate your job, you appreciate what you have, things like that. But really, like, in these times, it's hard to stay motivated to keep on going out and to keep on, you know, plugging in daily. Although studies have shown that people working from home actually can be more productive.
Sure, there's certain people
than people
that can
working
get,
at. Mm-hmm. You know, going to, you
an
know,
office
an office space and stuff
people.
Like that. So, I mean, there's going to be different things that we're going to be seeing as this whole epidemic plays out with COVID-19, the protesting on where commercial real estate's really going to, where they're really going to be at the end of this. And, I mean, it's crazy, but staying motivated.
Yeah.
How do you
huge.
Do that? You know what I mean? Especially with the family and, you know, kids and homeschooling and everything else that's piled on top of you as a parent. And not even that, just as an individual. It's,
just
you know.
Just being a wife or a husband.
Just being a wife or husband, you know, a coworker, or, you know, being alone.
Right.
There's a lot of people who are, you know, have different situations. And, you know, life's not easy in general. And throwing this on top of it just, you know, it makes it harder. So.
But there are silver linings to this, and I think
absolutely
that,
there are.
You know, it's important to focus on those silver linings when you can, and I think it's important to realize where you can't control a lot of things in life.
Yeah,
that's
there
it.
Is something you can control, and
you
so
have
that's
to
your perspective and
absolutely.
How you show up every day and how you respond. I mean, I know with my kids, we've had long talks about how you show up even in the house. Yes, my kids would love to just stay in their pajamas all day long.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
we've talked about mindset, and they've asked me, why do you get up and get dressed and like you're going to work every day and you're just going downstairs? And it's like, because that is how I signal myself that
100%.
Nope, it's time to get up and go to work. And I'm
I start with making my bed. That's the first thing I do is I make the bed.
Yep.
And then that kind of gets things going. It's crazy. It's all right.
Can't be lazy. You're not rolling back in there.
Yeah.
You get up and you got to go. Yeah.
It's interesting.
It was
it's
funny,
just a
the
very
first,
interesting times.
First week of COVID, I would wake up, I'd get so ready, and then I'd sit on the couch on my laptop and just work. I'm like, why am I so ready? So then the second week, I'm like, I'm just going to not do makeup. I'm not going to curl my hair. And I was so unproductive. It was night and day. And then every day forward, I was like, I'm just going to get up and do my normal routine. So
look good, feel good.
Yeah. So true.
Look good, feel good.
Yep.
You know, and I think it's just important to focus on the silver linings when you can. And yeah, there's definitely been benefits. Yes, it's me and my four kids in that house. So yes, that can be very overwhelming. But it also has meant I've taught them cooking lessons and we've had more dinners at the table. And
I know people who love it.
That's awesome.
I know people who love this. Being at home with their kids, they're gaining more time with them. They're, and, you know, my wife's one of them. She loves it. And it's just, you know, it's you get to grow with your, you know,
your
you get to spend more time with them. And I completely understand it.
Realistically, we're with our work more than we are our normal family if you're working 40 hours a week. So, yeah, there's a huge balance when it comes to, you know, work life and family. And
hopefully
it's a good time for a lot of families.
Yeah, absolutely.
On the flip side, though, speaking of that, we are typically with our work families, you know, bigger portions of the time. And I definitely, even with my small team, have run into that disconnect because we're used to being together all the time.
Face-to-face.
And Slack is just not the same as being together. And so trying to keep your teams motivated, like we're, you know, doing that.
That's going to be the biggest part about these events is because I've gotten accustomed to going to these events and just having a good time, seeing everybody. And it's, you know, that's where I think you talk about creating that, like, togetherness, that, you know, that culture of somewhat of a community, right? Community based on seeing everybody. And it's going to be different when either A1, they open up or we don't have those.
So again,
or if there's
going to
be some type of, you know, adaptation of it or, you know, whatever.
Right. Well, I mean, predictions on future events, I would say regardless of what stage we are in, we are all in a pre-vaccine stage.
Yep.
And that really changes everything. It doesn't really matter what the governor says about releasing everybody to go ahead and do gatherings until there is a vaccine that's widely distributed and we really all do 100% feel safe in whatever that means. But with regard to COVID, people aren't necessarily going to be comfortable coming to an event whether we schedule one or not. And every aspect of events now has to be reevaluated for safety. How the food is served. Buffets are not going to happen anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the food service in general is going to have to be completely evaluated. Hand washing stations, hand sanitizing opportunities, how close everybody's sitting together, the ventilation in the venue space.
Yeah.
I mean, everything that we do on the event side has to be reimagined yet again. And so it's just, it can be exhausting, but it's also kind of exciting to look at it like, you know what, here's a challenge and what are we going to do and we're going to figure this out. I think one of the things with virtual everything, though, is it's very hard to get a pulse check on people.
Sure.
You know, you can put all kinds of happy, smiling pictures on Facebook. That doesn't actually mean that anybody is necessarily happy or smiling.
I mean, let's get real. You post the bad photo on Facebook.
Right?
No.
It's called Fakebook for a reason.
Yes.
Like, that creates a false narrative. And I think that there's something very dangerous about that. And I mean, it's not necessarily event related, but just in general.
Yeah, just,
you know, no, I don't have millions of followers, but even I have posted some pretty real comments before and received criticism, actually. Had people come to me and say, people look to you to lead, you should stay positive on Facebook or Instagram or whatever.
Yeah.
And then if I post something super positive, like, hey, I taught my kids how to make
do this
banana bread or whatever the new thing was, I got criticism for that. People are dying. You are being way too, you're setting unrealistic expectations for other mothers. That's what I got. And it was like, wow, okay. And I just think
you can't
that
make everyone happy.
You can't, but I feel like just sort of segueing into, I think, the protests and everything, just in general, it's such a high-stress situation that it's causing a divide. And because we're all literally isolated in our homes and only seeing what we want people to see and showing people what we want them to see, it's easy to forget that there are real people behind the screens.
100%.
And, you know, it's
hard
to stay connected. And our mission at J Elm is 100% connection. It's connection.
Sure.
That's what we do. We actually launched a whole new website called J Elm Connects, and awesome. We are listing things, ways to connect with family, ways to connect with small business, because that's really our mission, and that's why we manage associations, and that's why people join associations,
sure.
is to connect.
Yeah.
And so now we can't connect the way we used to. So,
right.
Okay, we can't. So let's figure out how we can, and let's be real authentic about it and real, because otherwise people are going to think they're alone in this, and that if they're struggling, they're the only ones who are struggling.
Right.
So,
no, I love it. Which is true. We're all here to connect, and we are all here to support each other.
Yeah.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah, I think it's. I mean, I think a lot of people are waiting for, you know, some form of standard to, like, okay, what is the standard going to be that we have
to
follow? What's going to be this? You know, how is this going to evolve? And it takes people, you know, like yourself and, you know, the organizations that you're in to be like, okay, here's what we're going to do. And, you know, vendors like us, we're just like, okay, you know, we're trying to get into this pool, but right now we're tippy-toeing in because we don't really, you know, understand where everybody's perception is on the principal side. And it's because everybody has different points of views on how they perceive it. Every building's
different.
Every company's approaching it different.
Right.
You know, from the CBREs, the Cushman Wakefields, they're all approaching it completely different.
Yeah.
The Buzz Oats of the world. So
a 45-minute webinar only discussing changes and how we'll move forward with elevators. Really, that was the topic because.
But
how are you going to get it?
Everyone's curious about it. Yeah, that's
when
cool.
When you have to drill down to that level, it's overwhelming to look at every single aspect of life and how we have to change it. But we're looking at hologram buttons and buttons on the floor to pick. You can pick with your foot to figure out what floor you're going to go in. And I mean, there's all these different things. And that's just one tiny aspect.
Sure.
You know, of course, respect the elevator industry. But it's one aspect. And so when you look at all the things, it can definitely be overwhelming.
I think commercial real estate has an opportunity to really be the forefront of what takes place and how people go back out into society. Because you figure it's going to be their buildings that they're going into. You know what I mean? It's going to, and people want to feel safe. They want to feel like they're being taken care of. And, you know, people want to feel important. And it's going to be interesting to see what people do and how the commercial real estate responds to this. Because, I mean, they're going to be the ones they're going to have to put the effort in order for people to feel safe in those certain situations. I mean, I would love to get educated on stuff like that because I just want to know how to go about my daily life safely. Mm-hmm. You know,
sure,
so I don't get affected. And so I have
clients
and I want to be on.
How do I deal with that elevator? How do I, you know, all of us, whether that's my industry or not, which it's not, but we're all curious of how do we even enter a building? Are masks required? Do we have to walk in with gloves? I mean, us as vendors to come see our clients, we don't know, you know?
And that's really why, as an industry, we need to over-communicate. We need to be able to say, hey, everybody, general public who's coming into this building, this is why this elevator is safe and this is the steps we've taken. This is what's happening with the ventilation in that elevator. This is where we'd like you to stand in the elevator. This is, and again, I'm just picking on elevators.
Sure,
just
in general.
One aspect, and be able to just overabundant amount of information so that people feel like you're taking it seriously.
Right.
They can really
are.
Think about it. Yeah.
I mean, think about the news is over communicating every single day, every hour, what was going on, and everybody got the message.
Yes.
Us in commercial real estate definitely should.
How many times is the building being cleaned? How many times is the stair rail being cleaned then if we're encouraging people to use the stairs instead of the elevator? You know, what are the guidelines? Do you have to wear a mask? Are people in the building allowing guests and visitors, or is it limited to a certain number of people?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
All these things need to be worked out, and I wish there was a standard, but we're all trying to figure it out.
I think everybody's trying to figure that out, and I'm really waiting
to
see what the commercial – I mean, I don't even know how the commercial real estate industry would go about doing that. But, you know, I mean, are they waiting on state requirements? And I think that's what's taking place. I think they're waiting on, obviously, the state requirements to come in. But – it's also an opportunity for people to be educated on what commercial real estate does and, you know, how they look out for people. So,
well, difficult. And I think, to be fair, we live in a very litigious society, and so there's a lot of liability.
Stop using these big words, okay? Stop using these big words around me.
There's a lot of liability here. So,
there's tons of liability.
I think that definitely every industry would like the state or the federal government to say these are the guidelines, and that way you can be protected in some way.
Obviously.
But because there's really not, everybody's trying to figure it out on their own and be as safe as possible and keep people safe and not get sued and move forward.
Well, that's why so many people are still working from home. Mm-hmm. I mean, some companies are doors wide open, go to work. And then some are still very cautious of stay at home, and if you're working and it's being productive, which is another topic. I mean, how is this going to affect some of these high-rise buildings downtown? How is this going to affect tenants?
I know companies that are putting in a partition, like
the plexiglass
in between each
cubicle. Yeah, I know.
Yes. I mean, there's a lot of, and then
temperature checks. We've heard that
temperature checks in and out of the building.
Yes, yeah. But that also is a question mark as to whether or not you can really require somebody to give their temperature. And let's say somebody comes to the building and they have a high temperature and then you turn them away. Is that a HIPAA violation? Because you've just now announced that they must have had a high temperature because you didn't let them in the building. So there's all these things that we're trying to figure out and think about.
I'd be like, I ran here. I'm sweating.
It's 104 now. I don't have AC. Sweating. Yeah.
So it's just, you know, I hate when people say, I just want to go back to normal.
There is no normal.
Because it makes me sad because
they don't know.
That's gone. Sorry, this is normal now, and it's not anybody would anybody plan for the year, but it's where we're at, and we just need to make the best of it.
We have to move forward. We have to move forward as a society, and as it's
we all wrap our hands together and go, jump in,
support each other, and try and come at this from a place of kindness, honestly. And I'm not trying to sound cliche, but it's just everybody's just coming at this from their own
opinions
and perspective and. Everybody views life through their own experiences, and so it's hard in general with especially topics like this with COVID. You know, you have people who are very frustrated because California has not had this huge surge of cases, and doesn't that make it false? Or does it prove that we did the right things and sheltered in place? And there's just two different, you know,
And you never, I mean, everybody's going to have their own opinion, and you know, you can't, I mean, and that's fine. That's great. Yeah. But I mean, as far as a place of kindness, and that's exactly where, I mean, that's where I definitely try to come from too, because you don't know what people's perceptions are.
Sure.
And you don't, and that's why as a vendor myself, I'm like, last thing I want to do is put my clients at risk, especially their health. You know what I mean? Just to get in front of them or just to get some FaceTime with them. Mm-hmm. And it's, one of those things that you definitely have to take into consideration as a vendor. Like, how is our jobs as, you know, vendors going to evolve with this? And so we're all just trying to figure it out as this goes. Mm-hmm. And it's both scary but exciting at the same time. So it's going to be interesting to see what evolves from this.
No, we're... Totally agreed.
And a lot of what I've seen and read, and you know, it's all obviously this is my industry as well, is that this has accelerated things that we were already on track to do. The working from home and the
restructuring of businesses and
Six months ago, even the associations really hesitant to even hold a board meeting virtually because it's just not as great as in person. And I still agree with that. In person meetings were great. But we've definitely all had to just get accustomed to it. Yeah. And I'm seeing in meetings more attendance than we would have had before. And, you know, there's positives to that, too. So
that's
especially
great.
If you've got an association like our San Francisco Association, the Bay Area is really what's covered. And trying to get to a meeting in downtown San Francisco would have taken all day, even if you were coming from just
that's
across the
point.
Bridge.
I agree with that. As far as efficiency, and I mean, you could do a lot of Zoom meetings from sitting on your couch or at your table.
You can.
Compared to driving into San Francisco or, you know.
And the cost savings,
and other places in cost savings.
Parking, gas.
It's efficient.
It.
Yes.
It's definitely inefficient. So it's definitely going to be interesting how people... You know, how we go as a culture and, you know, as a society towards that. It's a new future. It's crazy.
It is. And I just encourage everybody to absolutely support small business, though. That's they're getting hit really hard. And so the restaurant industries and the things like that, and even, you know, small stores and things that didn't really have the online presence.
Sure.
They are literally.
Literally
getting hit.
Yeah.
But definitely support, if you can, the small business.
Absolutely.
Well, speaking of getting hit, have you guys seen all the protesters in SAC?
Yeah.
SAC just getting hit real hard.
Mm-hmm. It's SAC, San Francisco.
Really, I mean, just to.
They're protesting
everywhere.
I
don't know if you guys have been down there since the boards have all been up on all the buildings, and it's mm-hmm. just the eeriest feeling. You drive through and you're like, where am I? Mm-hmm. This is not Sacramento. So as much as we all need to wrap our heads together in our hands, we need to support them because obviously they're going through the roughest times with multiple things going on. So
yeah, be safe out there. Definitely everybody be safe out there for sure. And I agree with you 100%, you know, support all the way around the board. There's people protesting all around the world right now. So this is this is not just an American thing. It's a world thing that's happening right now, with the protesting and, but definitely stay safe.
I would agree.
So that's what else?
That's the latest and greatest. I mean, it's a lot going on.
That's
so.
A lot.
Yeah, we could definitely go
same thing
deep.
In February, all different answers.
Yeah, it's very true.
Yeah.
We should listen to the first podcast that you did versus
right.
now.
Where I talked about all the golf tournaments we were going to
have.
Yeah.
And every time it was, oh my gosh, the next cool thing coming up.
Yeah.
We've got some cool things coming up. They're just virtual.
They're just all virtual.
They're just virtual. Yeah, we've got some trivia nights, a drawing night, a bunch of webinars. Definitely check out whatever association you're a member of. Check out what they've got for education because there's a lot of different options. And one of the silver linings is that we get to bring in these national speakers now.
Yeah.
Because we can now afford connect to do that
them.
Because
yeah.
they're not flying in and putting up a hotel. And so we're getting some content from some, you know, some really impactful speakers from around the country. And so I'm excited
awesome.
About that. We've had some really good ones, including like virtual property tours and
I
tips on how
that.
To do that. And
mm-hmm.
so it's, we're, you know, we're rising to the challenge just like
I
everybody
like
else is. So
well, you guys are doing a great job. We truly appreciate it, and thank you so much for coming on air.
Yeah, I'm just happy to be back here.
I mean, we're back.
It
in
feels
a
like it's it. It feels like it's like brand new again. I'm like, I think it was kind of I've got to get used
it's
to this.
It's a good feeling.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We're 6 feet away, everyone. Don't worry. And we have masks on. You just sound so good.
We gotta go. And at that point. It was great to be back, Candace. Thank
it
you so
was.
Much.
Thank you, JB Bostic.
Thank you, Air Systems. And Julia, thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you, J. Elm.
J. Elm. Yep. And once
we're
again.
We're all in this together.
We are all in this together. Check out the website. And we will be back with more, we promise.